Okay. So, tell us your name, Laura, and a little bit about your interest in climate activism and your experience. I'm really, really interested to hear.
Well, my name is Laura Mwanguzi. I'm a 17-year-old climate change activist from Uganda. And my road or my cause to becoming a climate change activist is that very many girls out here of my age are suffering impacts of climate change.
How so? In what way?
Number one, there is this. Very many families out there in the villages face different impacts of climate change and their effects. For example, floods. This is where floods come in, all due to rainfall. And then the families get to lose their home, get to lose their crops, get to lose all that they have. And then they have a girl my age or a girl slightly younger or older than me. They are still in school, so she has to go and get married.
Right.
Because if she gets married, then the man will have to buy them a new house in exchange for her. The man will have to give her or give them food at home.
Yeah, okay.
All due to floods, landslides, drought, all this is all.
So if you become married, then the husband's family has to take care of your family to a degree. That's the tradition.
Bride price.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to give them a house, or you have to give them food.
Right.
You have to bring in cows, you have to bring in cattle in exchange for the girl. But this girl is losing her dream.
Sure.
She has been going to school, so school is no more for her. She can no longer discover what she has really.
Yeah.
And she can't come out and speak for herself.
Yeah.
And she says that she needs justice for this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Climate changers have to stop cutting down trees. She can't say that. So I need to become her voice. I stand out.
Yeah, okay.
Very many children out there are not experiencing the good childhood they deserve. Okay?
Yeah.
They wake up early in the morning to go and look for what they're supposed to have at home because the previous season there was drought. The previous season there was famine. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You find a five-year-old looking for at least 1,000 Ugandan shillings for them to have something to eat at home. And they can't come out and speak for themselves, but all these have been impacts of climate change.
Okay.
They have nothing to do about it. So in my capability, I decided to stand up, rise out for them, and speak for them. But within that, I discovered that climate change is not just what I thought it was, but it is something wide that consists of very many things that can affect humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that if we don't stand up and take action right now, we shall all be affected in the future.
Sure. Yes. Well, we are being affected now, of course, already, but it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Do you know other people like yourself? You said you're 17. There's other Ugandan girls that I'm aware of. I've seen like on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. Are they people that you know? You mentioned a couple of other names. Leah.
I actually know one that is my age.
Okay.
And that's Leah.
Yeah.
I don't know any other because most of them do not know about climate change. Or if you tell them about climate change, they say, how do I earn from it? That is the mentality most people have. They'll say, I'm not going to waste my time fighting for something, yet I'm not going to earn out of it, not knowing that things might become worse in the future. And they'll say, I wish I had known. And that is one thing I don't want to be. That's the worst place I'll be at.
Yeah, sure.
How I wish I had known.
So we were chatting a bit earlier about permaculture and perhaps a way of thinking that's about helping people solve problems, a way to help people meet their personal needs, food, shelter, you know, that sort of things that we know we need, but to do that in a way in which it also works with the environment, not against it.
Yes.
So I was very interested in your idea about permaculture clubs in school and actually showing things, ways in which people can earn from it, to use your term, is, you know, if you're making compost and growing food, that's good for climate, right? Because we're putting carbon back into the soil, but we're getting greens or whatever it is that we're growing. So I think that's a great way to start. So I think there's ways of framing, to use a technical term I guess used a lot, but how you frame an idea is very important, the context that you put it in. So let's say if you're an individual who's really struggling to survive, you're not making long-term plans, you're not considering the long-term consequences, you're just thinking, how can I eat today, or how can I make my bus fare for school today, or whatever, you know, whatever your concern might be. So we have to be sympathetic to people in that situation, but also kind of encourage a mindset where, well, we also to be able to solve these problems or to really address these problems, we also need a longer term plan. Can we come together to create a plan that helps you solve your challenges and me solve mine, and you know, and everyone else in our community? So, and for me, permaculture kind of allows you to take a few steps back. You know, like if you really want to see the view, you have to climb the mountain to see far. Yes. So where instead you're down in the field struggling, and okay, every now and again it's good, take a bit of time up, let's walk up to the top of the hill, let's look further ahead, you know, like metaphorically, and think about how we can come up with some better plans and strategies. And I mean, that's the best that I can offer. I mean, it's a bit lame, but I believe that's the starting point.
It's a very great idea. Well, currently in Uganda, I would say 60% of the people have a lifestyle whereby you buy food for only today.
Yeah.
Okay. And then tomorrow we'll have to worry about it.
So if they don't get worked in one day, they don't eat that day?
No. If you don't work, you don't eat today. Okay, you have to wait till the next day, and of which you have to eat one meal.
What? Yeah.
That is how you're going to survive. Yeah. Right. And currently in schools or in societies or the same in Uganda, for someone to grow food, you're supposed to have a very, very
big land.
Piece of land. Okay? Right. That's why most people move it to villages whereby they say, I have a very piece of land there, I have a plot there, so I'll start farming there.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'll have to bring the food to Kampala, to the city, so that I can earn. And that is how it moves here in Uganda.
Yeah.
But if you move this to schools, okay, you can be able to educate children. Mm. That you see, you have a compound at home.
Yeah.
In the compound, you can use it to grow cabbages, you can use it to grow tomatoes, you can use it to grow food that you don't need to go to the market and buy. And with this, you can be able to live with something tomorrow, okay? You don't have to worry about it.
You
don't have
to, you've got something to...
Your parents can be able to set up something that can help them and can also be able to help you as well.
Yeah.
Okay? This is something that will help you not only today, but also in the future. But how are we supposed to do this? We're supposed to move into schools, societies, communities to sensitize them about the good of permaculture.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you'll notice the book is called Small and Slow Solutions. And that's really sort of saying we've got a huge, very scary problem rushing over the horizon at us. That's climate change. How do you respond to that? With millions of small and slow solutions. Because there is no single answer to the questions that you raise. But we all each have to initiate our own response, you know, as best we can. And the best way really is to lead by example. So if you can do something that's a little bit interesting or different, other people will be inspired, even in a small way. So your school gardens, start small and make it work. Really concentrate on the detail and there's a thing called keyhole beds, which we teach about. But it's like a raised bed, but it's like a system. We think about it in a little bit more detail and we put a lot of effort into it. And what people quickly see is, hey, this works. And it's only made out of like free resources, made out of things lying around that other people maybe aren't valuing. They don't understand the value, potential value of compost, of dry grasses, of animal manure, you know, whatever it is that's lying around. You can construct something like that. Now people can see that and go, okay, that isn't so difficult. Maybe I could have a go at that.
Yes, you attract the audience.
Yes, and then you're kind of then starting to find a process where you're, you know, step by step encouraging people to at least begin to take a bit more responsibility and to see the potential for what's there. Now, so I've got another training book I should give a copy of you before you go. In David Holmgren's 12 Principles of Permaculture, it's like a cycle of thinking. And we only really need to think about the first six to start off with, but these are very important ideas. And you can think about this in terms of your making your keyhole bed or any initiative that you do. But number one, observe and interact. Is look around, see what the need is, see what resources are there. Exactly. Look, these people aren't doing much. Maybe they've got some spare time. There's food waste that isn't being utilised. I could do something with that. Look at those dry grasses, or that, you know, I could incorporate this together to make compost. Principle two is catch and store energy. Compost is stored energy. It's natural materials being combined together to create fertility for the soils. Trap rainwater, things like that. Energy is also friendships, human connections, build your teams, your clubs, your societies. And with that, you can come together to create yields, which is principle three. Yields is whatever it is that you grow. It might also be the friendship that you build by working together with other girls and women. That's a yield too. But if you can actually produce some food, then that clearly is a yield. As you build a garden, or as you build your team or your club, that's what we call a system. It's something that's made out of different elements. A bit like a football team or a hockey team. You've got the goalie, the attacker, the defenders. In your garden, you've got your raised bed, your compost, your, you know, whatever it is, your different plants and things. So that teaches you, as your garden develops, as you start doing something, you look at it and go, oh, I could make it a bit better if I added that, or I could make this change. So that's what we call systems thinking. You're starting now to think about it as a whole. Oh, look, there's all that waste paper coming from the school over there. We could put that into the compost. The compost is a bit too wet. What can I do to add to it? So what we say is that the system that you build, it's giving you information all the time. It's giving you feedback. It's saying, oh, it's a bit too hot and dry here, or it's a bit too wet. You can make adjustments. Principles five and six are build your garden or build your project out of local and natural resources. Build it from what's there already. You don't have to bring it in from the outside. You don't have to go and buy it from the shops. And the same, try and work with the people around you. See the human resource around you too. Principle six is produce no waste. Nature doesn't produce waste. Nature reincorporates and recycles everything back into the system again. And wherever you see materials that aren't being reincorporated back into the system, there's your opportunity. There's the unused resource. And you can see the value in it and other people can't. So, yes, so to you now that's free. That becomes free. And I'm really interested in spotting bits of land, like you say, small bits of land around people's compounds that are not being used. That's a waste. There's your food waste you could bring into that. Maybe there's water. When it rains heavily, you get a surplus of water. What can you harvest and hold on to some of that? That's how you start. That's how you start. You start small, create an example.
Of all the big ideas we have today in the world were all started up by...
That's it.
A small beginning.
Absolutely. And it's small groups of determined people that exactly. create change in the world.
Yes, and you're every successful person always has someone alongside them.
That's
how
it.
Did you do it? I did it so and
that's
so.
It. And that's so. It. That's it. You know, and you're one of those people. You're trying to start something off. And I tell you, it's not always easy to be that person. And you'll get challenges, and sometimes people will not understand your motivations. But as you do it, and as time goes on, you get better at explaining yourself and you get better at communicating ideas, and hopefully people will begin to respect you because they see, look, you've transformed that school. It used to be a piece of bare ground. Now it's lush and green with food or fruits.
And
or
move it to one school and then the kids will share it to another school, or even themselves, the school will speak for itself and the neighboring schools will be like, how did that school change? How did they do it? They no longer waste food, they no longer waste firewood. How did they do it?
That's it.
Then they come.
And then that becomes your kind of specialism. So again, in permaculture, we're kind of pioneers. We're starting things off in places where perhaps there was nothing before. Principle 12 is a really interesting one, which is change is inevitable. See things, see the potential in things. Don't see them as they are, but see how they could be in the future. So when you see that bare compound with nothing on it, you can go, aha, I know that with a few changes, that could be green and green and flourishing, and exactly, yeah. So, all power to you, Laura. And I'm really, really pleased to meet you. It's really lovely to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Yeah, and we'll stay in touch. All
right.
And you have Stella as your contact here.
Okay.
And we'll try and connect you with other people. And if you connect with other people like yourself, then I know I'm always trying to think of new ways to encourage and support people. but not to drive them into conflict. I don't want you to get hurt or you know, so, you know what I mean. But creating this idea that you're, because in some ways we are standing against the mainstream and we are telling the big politicians that they're all wrong and corrupt and all that, but there's a right way of doing that and a wrong way of doing it.
You don't attack the person, you attack the wrong in what they are doing.
Hey, you said it better than I could say it. Exactly. Absolutely. And remind people, you can remind people that there are these global agreements, there are these realities, the Paris Agreement.
That's where your idea can start from.
Yeah. Every nation has signed it. We've all admitted that there's a big long-term problem, we have to do something. Well, here you are, you're representing your generation, you're trying to initiate something. And you're not going to tear down the government in one, or change the global economic system in one go. But you can plant many, many, many seeds. And I also really teach it's a summary, but we say demonstrate, educate, replicate. So if you show people something and it works, they'll go, ooh, that's interesting, Laura, what are you doing there? Tell me more about it. So now then, that's when the educate come in, you can then tell them a bit more information. Mm-hmm. And if they're fully empowered and you've told them in the right way, they can replicate. They can take that home or take that to their school, their community, and they can do something similar themselves. So, there we go.
Okay. It's been nice having a dialogue with you. Maybe next time.
Well, you're really welcome, and I'm sorry we don't have more time.
No, it's okay.
I'm really, really grateful.
I don't want to keep my mom worrying.
Okay, yeah.
Because I have to go back. If I use a Boda Boda, it will charge me most. I have to go back downtown.
Yeah.
Sit in a taxi, wait for it to have very many people.
Okay, how much is a Boda though? I can pay for a Boda. Well, maybe I haven't got any money actually. I haven't got any shillings actually yet. I haven't been to the bank. So otherwise, I'd pay for a Boda. Do they take Rwandan francs? I don't think so.
Can you?
I only have Rwandan francs. Otherwise, I'd give you the money for a Boda.
It's okay, thank you.
Okay, look, I'm going to thank you for the interview. I will edit out the little chatty bits or whatever and maybe do nothing with it, but maybe I might share it with other people who would be interested to hear your voice. And I'm certainly interested to hear your voice.
You can share it on Twitter,
Instagram. Great. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll interview with you and there we go.